Carl Temple at the Westboro Public Library. One. Mr. Temple, where and when were you born?
I was born in Worcester, July 22nd, 1936.
How long have you lived in Westboro, or when did you move to Westboro?
I've lived in Westboro all my life, with the exception of 4 years in the United States Navy and 4 years in Hopkinton. Right after I got out of the Navy, I bought a house in Hopkinton.
What street did you live on, and what street do you live on now?
I lived on 2 Warren Street in Westboro. That's where my mother and father live. Yep.
And where do you live now?
6 Forbes Street, Westboro.
Do you have any siblings? How many, and did they serve in the military?
My brother and my sister, they did not serve in the service.
What can you tell us about this town before the Korean War?
I thought about that one a long time. It was quiet. And when you're 17 years old, dull, boring, and I wanted out of here.
So you were looking for adventure.
Yes.
What effect that you can see did the war have on the town?
Maybe the people coming back from the war would somehow have changed a great deal, and they would make changes. Probably a lot of other people came to Westboro looking, you know, to find a place to live after the war was over. Mm-hmm.
Did you visit home during your leaves?
Yes, a couple times.
Did you notice anything different as you came back and forth?
I was somewhat of an outsider because I wasn't a high school kid anymore. I had seen the world somewhat.
More sophisticated?
Yeah, I aged. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you write and receive letters and cards from home during your service?
I did from my family. I was a little bit disappointed that I knew other sailors were getting newspapers from the local town paper and things like this, not from Westboro, but I didn't, you know, you understand what I mean, don't you?
Right, right. Yeah. So, meaning that people were getting the Worcester paper or the Westboro Chronicle?
Yeah, they were from towns around Boston, and they were getting all kind of newspapers from the local newspapers and different groups writing to the servicemen in the Korean War.
So do you think that the newspapers donated these to the servicemen?
Absolutely.
They did.
Yeah.
They did. So that made them feel a connection
back
with home, and they could keep up with what was going on.
So my folks sent me papers.
So you did keep up?
Yeah.
And was there a lot of news about the war in the paper?
Yeah.
It was?
No, not so much.
No?
No, not so much the war. Just things going on. Who died and what the gas station went out of business and they put a something, you know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, stuff,
mm-hmm.
local news that you and I read today, you know.
Did it have any news about the Westboro servicemen, like serving here or there?
I don't really remember that.
Mm-hmm. Did you get a sense of what was going on back here? You must have, you're reading the papers
and
your family told you what was happening.
Yeah. The most news I got was, you know, about the United States from all the things that were happening in the United States rather than little Westboro, you know, things were kind of...
On a bigger picture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you save these letters and postcards?
I've got some, yes, from my folks, especially my dad writing me. Then he died while I was in, so they mean a lot to me.
It's a great memento.
I drag them out and have a good cry every once in a while, yeah.
Were you married before, during, or after the war?
After.
Did you have children before, during, or after the war?
No.
After.
After.
What was your life situation like at the time you went to the service? What was your job situation? Were you just out of high school?
No. I was a borderline dropout, you might say. I was having struggling in school. And so I left school because so much stress. And I wasn't doing well, so there was stress in my family, and I couldn't keep up, and so I walked down the street and
got a job? No.
Jumped in a car with a friend, and we went up to Worcester, knocked on the door, said we want to join the Navy. Just like that. My folks had no idea about this.
How old were you?
Almost 18.
So you were 17?
17.
You didn't need your parents' permission?
Yes, I did. They sent me home with a piece of paper and they said, sign this and you'll be going tomorrow morning. I said, great. We drove home, got two signatures. I drove back up here and the guy was very friendly, very. That all changed in 24 hours.
What did your parents think when you came home?
My mother was pleased. My father was stressed. Yeah.
But at that time, there was a big patriotic feeling.
I was going to tell you that I felt the patriotic duty to join the service, and I was going to go in the service because, so you could give me a hug and say, oh, you're a wonderful
hero.
That, I ran out of town. I was escaping.
Were you the oldest child?
Yeah, no, my sister was.
Your sister was.
Yeah, I was the oldest guy. Boy. Yeah.
So you answered my next question. Did you volunteer or were you drafted? You
volunteered.
In which branch of the military did
Navy.
You serve? The Navy. And you had a choice. When you volunteered, you had a choice of which branch.
I went to the Navy recruiter.
So do you think if you had dropped out of high school, they would have drafted you?
No,
anyway?
Not at that age.
When you turned 18?
Could be, but I don't think so.
What was your rank on separation from active duty?
Way down in third class.
How did you happen to get into this particular service you found yourself into? So.
You mean which service? Which
right,
Navy?
This
slogan, it says, join the Navy and see the world. I was stuck in little old boring, going nowhere. Seemed that's what was on my mind at that age, you know. I felt like I was being beat on by the school, you know, and parents, you know, and I, at that age, I just wanted to run.
And so, because of their slogan, you joined the Navy rather than the Army.
Yeah. In other words, rather than go home, and it was easier to, I had no options. I was getting the same thing from both sides, so I needed out. So, I don't know, I saw it in the newspaper, join the Navy and see the world.
And your friends joined the same?
Yeah, Al the Rock lived on in Westboro, the same age as I am. Yeah.
You joined the Navy?
Right alongside of me.
Did you go away together?
They promised us that we would be together for 4 years.
And?
I saw he was, my number was 444-1900, and his was 444-1901. He was right behind me. That was the last time I saw him. For about 3 years, I met him in Italy, in a bar. Isn't that strange? Never saw him again. And we were in the same Bainbridge, Maryland. Never saw him there.
Never at Basic? Never anywhere?
Never. Never.
Wow. Did he come back to Westboro?
Yes.
I think you answered the next question, the reaction of your family. But what about the reaction of your friends when you joined? You were with your best friend, probably.
Yeah. He was under the same circumstances. that I was, and that's how I got to know him, you know.
So what about other people? Did you get a reaction from town people who were...
I was gone. I disappeared.
24 hours.
They didn't. One day I was here, they didn't even know about it. Next day I was not.
How long was your service obligation?
4 years.
Where did you have basic training?
Bainbridge, Maryland.
How long?
I don't know. I think it was 12 weeks or 14 weeks. I forgot. It's been so long ago. It seemed like forever.
Can you describe what you did in training camp?
Well, it was early, very early, getting up in the morning, and it was very, very busy schedule.
Morning till night?
Till dark at night. And then the lights came on very, very early in the morning. You didn't have a moment to yourself.
And no, it was planned that
just
way.
Like in the movies. Believe me.
Yeah.
Yep.
Can you describe some of the people you trained with?
I can remember their faces, all races, everything, you know, from all walks of life.
Different ethnic groups, different parts of the country, different ages.
Yes, yes, yeah, some were 45, you know, some were 18, you know, I was one of the youngest.
And they accepted people that old?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We were in the same barracks.
So a typical day was like getting up at dawn, working out?
Oh, typical day was getting up at 3:30 in the morning. About 10:30, 11 or so, you'd be allowed to close your eyes. It was just like in the movies, you know, but we laugh at it now.
You
know.
You only slept like 4 or 5 hours?
Yes, yep. And you ran everywhere. You didn't walk anywhere.
So their plan was to get you in shape?
That's right, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Did you go through all those obstacle courses?
Yes.
And everything, just like you see in the movies?
Just like, worse.
Mm-hmm. How was the food?
I don't know, I didn't eat very much. You just... They say, eat, stop. It was food there, but I mean, I don't even remember what it tastes like. I mean, it was just...
So you don't remember if it was good or bad, or you must have eaten enough to keep you going.
Yeah, yeah, no, we ate, but I don't remember the food as being awful, because it just, you didn't eat until I said eat. You'd sit at the table and food, you'd get a tray and you don't even choose, you go down the line and they bunk, bunk, bunk. If you wanted a lot of it, you don't ask, you move on. You are a machine. You do precisely what you're told to do.
Oh, you pay the price?
After
basic training, what other specialized training did you have?
After I got on the ship, then I was, they call it a striker. It's like you're learning on-the-job training in the combat area radar. So I worked my way up to the test after a couple of years and began in the radar very close.
What kind of a ship were you on?
Minesweeper, ocean going. Small ship, all wood, no steel.
How many people?
About 80. Yeah.
Where was your first assignment?
Charleston, South Carolina. That's where I met the ship.
And then you went?
On that ship, we went to up and down the East Coast to get familiar with the ship. There was already a crew on it. I just became coming to it. And then we went to the Mediterranean.
What was the day like on board? Comfort Ship? Was it as regimented as basic training?
Dungaree Navy.
Very casual?
Very casual. Very casual.
Do you remember the people you worked with on the ship?
Yep. Quite a few of them passed away.
So you enjoyed it?
Oh, yeah.
Where were you stationed during the Korean War?
I was on the MSO. I went to the Med, and we hit all the countries along the northern coastline of the Mediterranean, all the beautiful countries, roamed through all the cities, and beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
So you didn't see battle?
No.
And you enjoyed this experience?
Yeah. Did it twice there. Went to the Caribbean twice. Into the Gulf of Mexico. Did all the Mexico cities all down through there. Up and down. Did Florida. Did all over the place. Never sat still for more than a couple months. 4 years.
So you were on a minesweeper.
Mm-hmm.
So you were looking for mines?
We were operating with other countries, joining together and sweeping mines. Sometimes we swept real mines, not just playing, but like in Italy, we swept mines left by the Germans, you know, we swept real mines.
And from World War II?
Yeah.
And what did you do with them when you found them?
Well, we worked with underwater demolition, and we'd locate them through means on the ship, and then the divers would go down and see if they could cut them loose. If they could, it was less dangerous. They'd cut them and they'd pop up, shoot them with a boom, they'd go off. Sometimes we'd bring them aboard and disarm them, and you just stay far away from where they're disarming them.
So you were with other countries doing this?
Oh, yeah. Well, lots of times.
A lot of European countries?
Yes.
And were these underground bombs or whatever they were they in mines injuring people?
Ships? I never saw anyone do that.
No. And when you did the Florida coast and up and down the coast, did you find any there?
We were just playing.
Practicing.
Yeah, make believe. You know, we were sweeping to see the gear and know how to run the gear, but then when we went to Europe or in the Caribbean, then we knew like somebody had located where there was a mine, so they'd find a map and it showed where from the Second World War where there was mines. Italy, Greece, France, you know.
Pretty nice duty.
Oh, absolutely wonderful.
So did you know what was going on in Korea at that time?
Oh, yeah. We But see, I got into the service on the last few months of the war. So I was in the Med when the very tail end of the war was happening. You know.
So when peace came.
Yeah, but we just kept on going.
Have you maintained contact with your old service friends?
Yeah, some of them. Unfortunately, like I said, a couple of them passed away that I was real friendly. Others you lose, you try to trace them, you know, you can't find them. Mm. Yeah.
Do you belong to any veterans organization?
Yeah, Minesweepers Association, yeah.
Anything local?
Most of it, right now, the last one was out in California. They had to do, and then another one was New Orleans, and you know, we get a monthly magazine, and, you know, and once in a while they tell new members or the crew of the such and such a ship, and I look for names, and once in a while I see one, and they put the address, and I try to communicate, and, oh, it was his father, you know, you know, something like that, you know.
What about on the state level or in Westboro? Do you belong to the American Legion or the veterans groups?
No, I don't. No,
they've asked you to join.
Yeah, I've always been too busy doing either with my business at, when I was in business, and it just I should march. I feel guilty about not marching, but I don't know. It got so that when I was in the service, I went through the service and I did my duty and everything, and then when I came home, it's just not that I'm not, I am patriotic. Tears are in my eyes when they march by in the flag, and you know, and I'd go back if I was younger, you know, but actually another problem that has nothing to do with my hearing loss is if I'm in a group, whether it's the any group you can think of that I've been in, I had to get out of it because I have difficulty in the garden club even trying to communicate when there's more than one-on-one or two-on-one. I feel like the village idiot because I can't keep up with the conversation. And it's very difficult.
The background noise.
It's
do you think any of that hearing loss is attributed to the mine that you were blowing up?
Well, I had 20 millimeters and a 4-inch gun was shot quite a bit on the ship. And yeah, it was all probably, you know,
Would you recommend military service to young people today? And
it
why?
It ought to be mandatory.
Mandatory? Why?
Changes your way of thinking. Makes you grow up. Somebody teaches you where to put the next foot.
Discipline? Organization?
Yeah. They didn't lay a hand on me, but boy, they taught me which way was up.
So then you definitely, for my next question, you definitely feel that this experience changed your life.
Absolutely.
For the better.
Oh, absolutely. You know what? Not only that, you get to know different groups, different, whether they're black, white, or whether they're from north or south, you know. You just get to respect people and get to love them, you know, and you get some of the resentment people have about other, you know.
So all different ethnic groups that you probably didn't see in town at that time?
Oh, never.
Were there any different groups of people in Westboro at that time? Do you remember any Native Americans?
Hardly ever would I see, you know, someone of another group, you know. You didn't see many.
So there were none in high school with you?
You mean like Oriental, black?
Either Asian or Native American or...
I can't remember that there was. No, I'd almost say definitely no. Mm-hmm.
What was life like in Westboro when you returned home? Had anything changed here?
Of course, it was, you know, the town grew. You know, there was no car, you know, there was much more traffic, and not like today, you know.
Mm-hmm. You had changed.
Oh, yeah.
And your family saw that?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Were you received home warmly by the community? Were there parades or receptions, or you just came right back in and went back to your normal living?
I came back and found it was very difficult to find a job, you know, because I was a radar operator now 4 years, you know, mm-hmm. and...
So the skills you had learned you couldn't apply when you came back to town.
Yeah.
So could you have, if you had gone to a larger city?
Maybe, you know. But
what did you end up doing when you left the military?
Of course, living in Westboro, untrained, no high school education. I went to Bay State Abrasives Company, where I had worked as a school kid once in a while, you know, and my dad had worked there, and I knew people there, and I, you know, I knew the town people, because Westboro was still a little town. With Bay State Abrasives Company there. And that was the big thing in Westboro at that time.
So they were a big employer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I went down, banged on the door, and got a job there. And worked my way up through, and then finally ended up getting married. And that was my sole support. And we lived in Hartford for years.
And then you moved back to Westboro.
Then I moved back to Westboro. Mm-hmm. Still working at Bay State Abrasives Company.
And then you started your company when?
Very early 70s.
So you were in business 30 years, almost.
Maybe longer than that.
So you did
it didn't. It didn't happen like a hut, you know, bang. It happened with having three children and living in a home, owning your own home, and you understand the evolution. Bay State Abrasives was small pay, and I wanted more out of life than just that. So I started. Reading books and hanging around Bigelow Nursery and made friends with them, and they taught me so much, and I got friendly with an architect over there and looked over his shoulder and did some plantings here and there, and went from a pickup truck to two trucks, three trucks, you know, we just kept on getting bigger, and pretty soon we had 10, 12 guys, and I was working nights now, so I could run a business days. And then finally, I walked in and resigned from Bay State Abrasives Company and went full time, and then I got a lot of big jobs, and digital and condos. And,
so you became a good success.
Oh, it was
success
wonderful.
Story. Do you think your military experience, having them train you, get out in the world, see the world, know you could overcome different things, and you had a more positive attitude.
When I was in the service, I used to be, when you first go aboard a ship, you're on the end of a month, or you do what you're told to do, period. And so I looked up on the bridge where the captain was, and I saw a guy standing there with a cup of coffee next to the captain, and he had the same stripe on his arm that I did, and I was down washing decks and rolling up rope and things, and I said, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. I drink beer with that kid, and he's a dummy, and you know what I mean? That's how he felt, you know. So I just...
So you've left your mark on Westboro.
Because so I did the same.
You've done a beautiful job. We see you work all through town. It must give you a good feeling that
It does. I like to ride around with my kids.
Right. Say, I did
this house, and
I said, landscaped that, or my self-taught.
Now my grandchildren, from their mothers, from their mom, mm-hmm. they ride along, and my daughter has said, Papa did that planting there in front of the police department. That used to be the school, and we did that one over to Manhattan, and we did that one down there, and we did this one. You know, and it's just fun. I'm sitting in the back seat now holding the little one.
So it makes you proud.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so you're a self-taught landscape architect.
Yeah. No.
Successful.
Wrong word. Designer.
Landscape designer?
Yes. Yep.
What one lesson do you think we should learn from remembering the Korean War? So even though you didn't serve in Korea, even though you weren't in battle, you knew it was going on. People here knew what was going on in town.
Well, because I am a Korean veteran, only on paper, okay. Think of all the guys that went to Korea and gave their lives, or went there and went through hell. That's, take your hat off to them guys.
Right. Yeah.
And read them on the stone out front here.
So do you think you learned one lesson from your military service?
Yeah.
that you could do anything, you could overcome? It sounded like when you went in, you had like kind of a negative attitude and with what was going on here in school.
Yeah, no, I did have a negative attitude. I was a wise guy. I didn't have time to learn books and reading. It was a waste of time. I wanted to do something. I wanted to go somewhere. You know, it was just scrambled brain, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'll bet you that there's a few other children that are out there now that maybe people have seen the light, you know. Mm-hmm. That maybe there aren't as many young men and women out there now that are going to school. They all know that if they don't be an achiever, want something, you have to go get it.
Right. But you came back and became a productive person in the community and gave back to the community.
A desire.
Right. Is there anything else you would like to add from your little cheat sheet there?
No, that's the whole story.
Okay. Mr. Temple, thank you for your time. Thank you for sharing your memories with us. This has been an oral history interview with Mr. Carl Temple at the Westboro Public Library on February 27th, 2001. This is Nancy O'Dell recording.